You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Amen. And he became a lovely friend, you know.
Absolutely. Al was a good guy. I did like Al.
Yeah.
He still owes me $200, but, you know, he was supposed to be doing me a painting, but, you know.
Well, he owes me a painting, too, when
I get to heaven, I'm going to go over there and cash in.
Hey, yo, where's my painting?
My money, man? Where's my painting, you know?
He was a gentle, good soul, but he was also the businessman of the highwaymen.
Oh, yes,
because
he was.
Of him, he went out and made sure everybody got to sell their painting.
Yes,
probably got a piece of the action, too.
Sure he did.
Kind of a
No, he did. He did. Absolutely, he did. I love Al Black, but he was definitely a street hustler. You know what I mean? Yeah. All the way, no doubt about it.
Yeah, we'll see you later, Pastor John.
Thank you.
Pleasure meeting you.
God bless you.
Yeah.
And,
so you knew John? I mean, you knew Pastor Al? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not Pastor Al, but
I do know Pastor Al too. I'll get to that part of the testimony.
Oh, okay.
Pastor Al Pagosi.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We'll continue your story. So you tried cocaine the first time.
Cocaine.
You're instantaneously addicted.
I'm instantaneously addicted.
No more pain from your friend's death.
No more pain from my friend's death. No more pain from anything. And by the time I was 15, 15 and a half, I'm going to call it, I moved out of my house. My mother didn't know what to do. Everybody knew I was going crazy. Everybody knew everything was going wild. But inevitably, I moved out. I didn't quit school because I was smart enough to realize all the guys that had quit school before me, when they came back to sell dope, they would get arrested. So by virtue of staying in school, I stayed in school. It became my famous marketplace. And I went to school simply so I can sustain my own addiction. And I graduated from Clinton High School up there. 1989.
Clinton.
Yep.
That's where my friend David Usher's from.
Okay.
Clinton. He's in town now for 5 months. I want you to meet him.
Nice.
Lifelong. He got saved 6 months after me.
Wow. I'll bet you he knows who we are, the Fajitas, because we had a big garden center up there, Fajita Gardens.
Listen to this. So he's mocking God. Then he loses his job, loses his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of ours said that he talks to my friend's wife on the phone. And she said, well, it sounds like it's time for you to receive Jesus. So he prays over the phone with her, and a lightning bolt, he said, came through the phone, and he was gloriously saved. He hasn't been able to shut him up since.
Amen.
But I got to be the one to tell him, because you know where a phone says, look at a phone. And I said, do you know what your number on your phone is? It's 465-2580. Makes a perfect cross, and he was saved on the phone.
Praise God.
Is that something else?
Praise God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, okay, so you're into cocaine. Let's continue on here.
So I
put a clock up there, would you guys? Okay.
I wind up getting my own place to live, kind of hooked up with a girl for a little while that eventually would become my first wife, but we were kind of on and off. We weren't all the way steady there. Get my own apartment. By the time I'm 18, I lost 7 friends who had either died from suicide, drug overdose, accidents, walking out in front of a train. On purpose, because he was mad at his girlfriend, drinking a bottle of Yukon Jack on the railroad tracks, Utica, New York, Barnes Ave. His name was Michael Williams. Ironically, went by the nickname of Ghost. Literally got blown to smithereens and pieces, Rhett. I mean, leg was on this side. You know, torso down the road, half a mile down the road. It was a bad scene. And through the life that I was living then, because I was living a hellified lifestyle, I'm not going to get into every detail of all that today.
No,
but of course, you can imagine when you're seeing things like this and people are dying, like I can't even tell. And by the way, all these people I'm talking about dying, nobody was over 21. You know what I mean? These are all kids at the end of the day. As I stand here at 55, you know what I'm saying? And these are all kids.
Yeah.
And so eventually I meet another girl who becomes the mother of my son. And so my son Corey was born 1989, actually 1988. And he passed away February the 9th. 1989.
What happened?
He died of SIDS, 6 months old.
SIDS.
Sudden infant death syndrome is what they called it back in the day. Well, the irony to me, and it's not irony, but...
how old was he then?
6 months. He was 6 months. SIDS is highly... it happens a lot when the dad uses cocaine.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I learned that years later. I didn't know that at the time, but its studies had been done, so on and so forth. Oh, yeah.
I wonder why that is.
It has something to do with the respiratory system and everything else and what you're doing with your... I felt guilty about that later on. Not right away, though.
Is there a day that goes by you don't think of your son?
Nope. Nope. And I'll get to more of that in just a minute. But my son, when my son passed away, I didn't care, Red.
Because you were so doped up.
I was so doped up. I had so much selfish pride. What ultimately happened was that gave me a reason to go use and get out of my world, get out of my face. You don't know the pain I feel. And I rode that horse for a long, long time.
Self-pity.
Self-pity and, you know, enabling myself to go use what I want to do and do what I want to do and so on and so forth. As a typical crackhead at the times, when she was pregnant, I left her because there was no fun to be around a pregnant girl. I had partying to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just wasn't the thing to be doing. You know what I mean? I was irresponsible.
How old?
I was 18 at the time. Very. And I felt like I was older than I was, but, you know, that has a lot to do with the dope and acting like a retard. Then I went on to, let's just say, I was collecting money for some people in New York. I had to find a way to make a living. Okay. I don't want to go too deep into that either, but.
I want to make you an offer you can't refuse.
We were selling
drugs.
That's my
son, Sonny.
We were running the books. We were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, whatever it took to turn a buck to put the next buzz on.
Leave the gun and take the cannoli.
That's what I'm talking about. We didn't even.
Are you Italian?
I grew up in an Italian household.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad was from Sicily.
Yeah.
And
my aunt was 100% Sicilian.
That's what I'm saying.
I sure miss her lasagna.
Oh, my dad could cook, boy. Brujols, oh my gosh, raviolis, woof.
I dated a girl when I was 16. She was 19. She was beautiful as a model. Beautiful. Anyway, so her grandmother lived on the third floor of this house in Poughkeepsie, New York. Little teeny tiny Italian. Mm-hmm. She'd make me these raviolis, little raviolis, paper thin.
Oh,
no one's given me a ravioli that good the rest of my life.
No, my dad used to make big raviolis, like this big, like huge ones. They were like four inches by 4 inches.
Ricotta?
Oh, yeah, ricotta. Oh, my gosh. And I can tell you, I haven't had a ravioli since he passed. That was...
When the moon hits you, I like a big pizza pie. That's amore.
Absolutely. So,
continuing. So you're working for these guys.
So I'm working for these guys. I do something really bad one night, and by this time, I have got with the girl that would be my first wife, who is a wonderful person, by the way. Even though she's my ex-wife, she's a good person. And we have a baby, my oldest daughter, who is awesome. I love her to Sierra. She's the best. Mm-hmm. And I come home one night from doing bad things. Mm-hmm. It's probably about 2:30 in the morning. And the baby starts crying. And I look at her, and the guy that I had to just go see, this is 3 days before Christmas, no less, when I had to do, let's just call it, some bad things, as I was getting up to leave, I looked over, because I had him outside in his driveway. His three kids were watching me damn near kill their father. And that, I had no God in me, I want you to understand. I thought I didn't have a conscience up to that point.
You didn't kill him.
I did not kill him, but it was pretty bad. Well, we wanted our money, so we didn't kill him. We'd never get our money. At the end of the day, that really hit me hard watching these kids. That absolutely was monstrosity to me. And I went home and I looked at my daughter and I thought to myself, how long is it going to be before I'm that guy? You know what I'm saying? Because somebody, I'm going to run into somebody who's going to outwit me or outdo me sooner or later. It happens to all of them. Everybody in the business it happens to. And at least I was smart enough to realize that back then, or God was showing me that, I'll call it. But not knowing what God was doing, setting conviction into my heart already, and not realizing that was more of a gift than a hindrance, because I didn't like feeling that way. It was almost like I actually felt emotional, which I hadn't felt emotional since 2010, to be honest with you. You know, that was a real, that death at 10 years old was a real heartbreaker.
Maybe that's why he had mercy on you, just because of what happened to you and Bobby and all that other stuff.
We're not done yet. And at the end of the day, I moved to Florida. And I come to Florida to go to work for who is my ex-father-in-law, running a weed eater. Well, so I said to myself, I'm going to move to Florida so I can quit cocaine. I can quit all this bad stuff. So I got here, and all I did was drink 10, 12 Michelobes a day, smoke an ounce of pot a week, and I was on the marijuana maintenance program. But I was sober in my mind. I ain't using that bad cocaine stuff. I'm not one of those guys no more. You know what I mean? Until I wind up at a wedding over in Sandpiper Bay in Port St. Lucie. And there was a guy using cocaine in the bathroom. I heard the famous chop chop on the back of the toilet, and he come out with white stuff under his nose. That happens to be somebody that I'm familiar with. And I said, yo, bro, why don't you break a brother off a little something, something, you know? Because I had a few glasses of wine, and, you know, my willpower doesn't work. It needs to be Holy Spirit power. That's the only thing you can do. But he breaks me off a little bit. But next thing you know, him and I are both in the stall. People coming in. I got him standing on the toilet. I'm on the back, on the tank over there, snorting right off the back of the tank. Not caring what was the hands were there. Cocaine's going up the nose, and we're doing what we're doing. Well, from that point forward, I was well off to the races, Rhett. And I mean off to the races. Like, when they say you come back to use, the urge is even worse than it was before. Like Jesus said, when you sweep the house clean, if you don't fill it with something good, the demons come back seven times stronger. Guess what? That's real. That is real. I mean, so real. If you're getting sober, you're getting free from some type of character defect, fill it with the love of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't fill it with Jesus, the devil's the other option that's going to fill it for you. And he's going to fill it with things that are going to look appealing, things that are going to feel appealing, things that are going to look like they feel good, but they're going to be things that are going to kill you and your family. So fill it with good stuff. But at the end of the day, so like I said, so I started back out using. Things are going well for me. I'm building the business up with my ex-father-in-law who taught me a lot of things. And at the end of the day, he
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Yet slain for us.